Welcome to the first episode of the Hybrid. Cannot wait to get this started with you guys. Let's dive in. First thing on the agenda, Rodrigo, £70 million from Real Madrid. Is he worth it to play on the left wing? It's a highly debated topic at the moment. I keep seeing things on the internet. Charlie Watts is talking about it. There's a lot of motion, a lot of noise. He didn't play the other day, and he played out of position for 60 minutes in the other game in the Club World Cup. That doesn't tell you that Xabi Alonso doesn't want him in the club. I don't know what will. Does he suit Arsenal? That's really the question that we want to answer. So we're going to look at Rodrigo on the left wing compared to Martinelli on the left wing. Is it worth a 70 million upgrade? Rodrigo, 30 games last season, 6 goals. Martinelli, 33 games, 8 goals. Some would say Rodrigo's better, worth 70 million. But the stats don't lie. Martinelli technically had a better season. Plus, Rodrigo played for Real Madrid last season, like 30 games. So it's not like he came on as a sub in every single one of those games, because he still played almost 2,000 minutes as well. So he's played a decent amount of football. And he's only come out with 6 goals. For me, I think Rodrigo is a fantastic player. Does he suit the Arsenal playstyle, though? That's the other thing. One, is he worth 70 million? And two, does he suit the playstyle that Arteta wants to play? Is he going to help elevate the team? Is he going to give us that squad depth? Personally, I think he will. The reason I say this is he's an electric, quick player. He's so quick on his feet. The one thing that Martinelli cannot do, for love nor money, it wouldn't matter if you put on 300 grand a week, he still is absolute rubbish in the final third. Everything up till then is 10 out of 10. It's fantastic. It's brilliant, in fact. But he just cannot finish. And I don't know why. Someone tell me why this man cannot finish. He's been at Arsenal for 4 seasons now, maybe longer. I think he joined in lockdown. I think he was around lockdown era. So he's been there 4 or 5 years, and he still cannot finish. That final third is just not there for him. His decision making just doesn't seem to be getting any better. And for someone of his age as well, and the stature and what he can produce and what he did produce, let's not forget, in the 21-22 season, he was our top goal scorer. You can't miss those things. Those are important pieces of information. It just doesn't seem like in the last 2 seasons he's really had a meaningful impact. Rodrigo, on the other hand, he's not had many goals this season, but he's still performed on a top level for Real Madrid. Like, you don't hear Real Madrid fans going, he can't finish in the final third. Kind of seems like more star players have come in and kind of taken those goals away from him. So let's maybe forget about the numbers for a second. And let's have a look at the play styles. Martinelli is electric quick. He's got pace. He's quick on his feet. He can turn defenders. Is he strong? Probably not. What does Rodrigo have that Martinelli doesn't? Well, he's quick on his feet. They're both electric quick. They're Brazilian. What do you expect? One thing Rodrigo has over Martinelli is he still has that flair. He still has that little flick of the heel, a little twist and turn to get past the defender. And that's going to put him ultimately in a better position. That's where Martinelli in the final third lacked. He didn't know what to do. He could either go left or right. He just runs at defenders. Whereas Rodrigo, you know, he can flick the ball. He can put it through someone's legs. He has that flair, that character that is going to carry the ball with him. It's something we haven't seen at Arsenal. It's been very regimented the last couple of seasons. But don't get me wrong. Defensively, we're sound. I cannot argue with our defence. When we're not dealing with injuries, we are probably one of the best, if not the best, defensive team in Europe. In the world, maybe. I've said it. There we are. But last season, we had a lot of injuries. We had a lot of players out for a long period of time. We never had a structured back four. But our attack is completely different. Yes, we had a lot of players out. We didn't have a false nine. But that Trossard and Martinelli role, look, they had some time out, but it was mainly either one or the two. And if one of them came off, the other one got subbed on. And they still really didn't perform. It's a weak spot that we have in the Arsenal lineup. I personally, for one, think 70 million for Rodrigo would make them fight for their place. It might make all three better. But I don't know. What's your opinion? Let's hear it. Another big headline for the Arsenal news today. Bradley Barcola. Who would have seen this coming? I definitely, for one, didn't think that this name would come up. Is it a rumour? Is there concrete evidence? I cannot seem to find any concrete evidence that this has actually happened and that we're interested. Only from certain journalists that, personally, I don't really feel have any roots in the Arsenal field. Are they just saying it to get clout? Are they just saying it to get follows and likes? I don't know. He's apparently worth 100 million. He's quite young. He can play in that kind of eight role, but then we've already got Havertz, Odegaard, Rice, Marino, although he's been playing more of a forward role for us due to the injuries. And we've just bought in Zubimendi to cover the six. Do we need another midfielder? I know that we're looking at a lot of outgoings, but what is he really going to bring to us, Barcola? He's a fantastic player, don't be wrong. I think he's fantastic, but Rodrigo's 70 million, but it's an area that we need improvement in. Do we need another attacking midfielder? Is it a strike? No. Why are we paying 100 million? We're quabbling over 10 million for Gyökeres and Sesko because they want more money. And yet, we might be interested in a 100 million pound midfielder, but we already have four or five decent midfielders. It just doesn't make any financial sense or squad depth sense. Just the whole lot just doesn't make any sense at all. I don't really know where this rumour has come from. But I don't know, what would you guys think about Barcola? I personally think he's a fantastic player, but 100 million is way too expensive for me. But what would you guys want? What would you guys want to see? Do you think he'll benefit the team? Do you think it's a financial burden? Let me know. We are going to talk about an exit for the club now. Zinchenko and possibly Kivior looking to go to Serie A. But more recent news, Zinchenko to Fulham? I personally didn't see that coming. I know we've already given them Smith Rowe. We've got Reece Nelson on a transfer, potentially. He went on the loan. They're also looking at him as well. But Zinchenko, apparently the asking price is 10 million, which I don't know. I feel that's a bit low for Zinchenko. I still think he's quite young. He's still really, really intelligent in terms of the game depth. He plays for Ukraine. He definitely plays a leadership role. He's a leadership role in our dressing room. Still does. I don't know. I personally feel like say our goodbyes, get the money while we can. He's only got a year left on his contract. But £10 million kind of seems a bit shy. I feel a bit robbed if we let him go for £10 million, if I'm being personally honest. I feel like 15, 20 million is where his value sits. We let him go for 10, I'd be upset. But the Kivior situation. Gabriel was injured. Kivior comes in the Champions League against Real Madrid, and we're all panicking. Every single Arsenal fan is panicking about what is Kivior going to do. Is he going to concede five? Is he going to make a mistake and our Champions League hopes get washed out the window? Or is he going to put in a 10 out of 10 performance and it's like Gabriel never left? Well, I am happy to say it was the latter and I want him to stay. I think he has a future at the club. He's 25. In 3 years' time, Gabriel is going to be 35, 36. He's only going to be 28. He's still going to be a young defender in that term. Will he stay for another 3 years? I don't know, but will Gabriel stay for another 3 years? He's only 25 years old. He's still got, you know, he's not even reached his prime yet. Is Gabriel going to stay with us for another year or two? What's to say that Saudi don't come in and offer him loads of money and he leaves? We're going to want someone in that position to take that role. Is that Kivior? But the point of this topic at the moment is Zinchenko. Will he leave? Well, if he does leave, where does that leave us? Do we have backup in that left-back spot? I think that's where Hato comes in and fills up. Because he's all of a sudden the backup for that left-sided centre-back. and defensive midfield, that sixth role that we're with Partey potentially on the way out, would fix. Now let's stay on topic here. Is Zinchenko going to leave the club? Is it a good idea? Do we really want to lose more squad depth players? Do we not want to hold on to them? I know he's only got a year left, but we're all talking about squad depth and how injuries really derailed our season. Why are we letting more players go? Doesn't really feel like we're going to be able to get that squad depth back if we do let them go. Just say they want to sell them for £10 million. We're not going to be able to sign a replacement for £10 million. So that kind of seems like we're investing money to replace a player and we're still at the same level of squad depth. We've not increased it by anything. We've just replaced a player. So we're going to be in the same situation again next season if the same things happen. Touch wood, it doesn't. But it just seems like a poor decision if it was to go that way. On the other hand, he's got a year left on his contract. What's to say he just doesn't run it out and we don't get any money? One, we've got to pay his wages, so that's going to cost us money. And two, we don't get anything from him and he can sign for another club with lucrative sign-on bonuses and kind of sacrifice his wage because he doesn't have to worry about that. So it's, would it make financial sense to sell him now and get rid of that burden because he's only got a year left and he might not extend? But the squad depth is the real question here. Why would we let someone go unless we're going to replace it? And that replacement could be Hatto. If Zinchenko does leave, that could be the domino effect for all the other transfers to happen. Zinchenko goes, we sign Hatto because you get money. Hatto can come in. You then got the likes of, is it going to be Sesko or Gyökeres? Is that a smokescreen for something else? We sign Zubimendi. That's a replacement for Partey, but then we've lost Jorginho, so who's going to be the backup for that? We can't expect Zubimendi to step in and take that straight away in the Premier League. I don't see it happening personally. I mean, look at Fabio Vieira. He could not step into that role and he's had to be loaned out because of it. But I want to hear from you guys. Do you think the Zinchenko going to Fulham, £10 million, is a good financial deal? I don't think it is. And that brings me on to my next topic. Thomas Partey contract talks. Still nothing. From what I can see, from what I've listened to and read, he wants more money. His agent wants 10%. And I know that this happened with Atletico Madrid. He wanted 10%. They said 3%. He left, joined Arsenal, and we gave his agent 10%. Is that what's happening now? Is his agent wanting 10%? Because technically, he's a free agent now. It won't matter. So they can ask for whatever they want, or they walk and they get a sign-on deal for somewhere else. So really, the power is in his hands. It's in Thomas Partey and his agent's hands at this point. All we can do is hope he takes a pay cut and stays, and then we don't have to fill that position. Because I don't think Thomas Partey is a bad player. But Thomas Partey is very injury-prone. I mean, he's great in the big games, don't get me wrong. He can put in a good performance, but he is very injury prone. Do we want someone like that in the team? Do we want someone that we're going to pay extra money for to sit on the bench to then get injured in a preseason friendly and then not do anything for us and then we don't have that replacement? Or do we want to sign a 20-year-old youngster who can go under the wing of Zubimendi and Declan Rice, learn from some of the best sixes in the world and really turn into something? Someone's not going to want 90 minutes at 18, 19 years old. Or do we go for an experienced Premier League CDM or a six like Norgaard, pay the 20 million and he can play as the kind of Jorginho figure that we had last season? He's really good in the dressing room, really experienced in those kind of nitty bitty bits that we need. You need to take someone off in the 60th minute, you can bring him on and he can finish a game. I don't know, something to talk about. Something else we can talk about as well is the opening fixtures of the Premier League. Now, I know that Arsenal fans love a good moan. I love a good moan. I really do. So it's one of my favourite things to do is moan, right? But last season, we didn't have a great start to the Premier League. We had a tough start. We got through some of it. I think we got like 4 points from the Aston Villa and the City games in general, which I think is pretty good. It's a pretty good start. Could be better. But we were hit with a bit of injury. This one takes the cake. United away, Liverpool away, City at home in the first six fixtures. Now, that's tough. It's going to be tough. Will that change Arteta's transfer plans? Is that going to change Berta's tactics in terms of who we're going to sign, when we're going to sign them, and how many are we going to sign? Or are we just going to stick to the plan? From what I've read of Berta, he's a very tactical man in terms of his transfers. He likes to do things in particular orders. He likes everything on the plate. He wants to taste everything before he makes his decision. He's one of those guys that goes to a restaurant, orders all of the dishes, tries every single one and goes, I want that one. And this is probably why the transfer has taken so long. Could be why we've only signed one player, and that was previously before Berta joined, because the deal was already essentially done. I don't know. Are they going to change the outlook on what we're looking for out of our transfers? I think they will, personally. Like we need a nine. Are these opening fixtures really going to change how we progress or how we feel the season has gone? I know a lot of Arsenal fans think the season has gone after five games. Speaking to some of my friends, I think they think it's gone after the first two games. And I did think like that, but I was very positive last season. I didn't think we were going to win the Premier League, but I did think we were going to do very well. With the injuries we had, I'm very, very surprised we finished second. I think that the way that Arteta managed the team, this isn't a very unpopular opinion, and I know this, but I think the way that Arteta managed the team last season with the injuries that we had, the rotations that we kind of had to make, I think finishing second in the Premier League, although we did drop a lot of points in the last couple of games, was incredibly impressive by the Arsenal. Any other team who had that many injuries wouldn't have been as high up in the table as we were. And that is a fact, because I think we had the most injuries or the most players out for the longest time in the Premier League, and yet we still finished second over some teams that finished 14th and 15th. Injuries really did impact our season. Squad depth once again comes into that factor. So if we're having a fixture with Liverpool, United and City in the first six, do we not want our players to be ready? Do we not want to have a good pre-season with all those players in, with the squad depth that we want? Start the season the right way rather than prolong it, not get the players in and then have to panic. I know I'd prefer to get all of our business done, and I know that all Arsenal fans don't want to be stressing about what striker are we going to be signing. And how many points do you think is a good from that start, from those opening six fixtures? You know, there's 18 points available in those six games. How many would you say is a good start? I'd say if we get 14 points, 14 out of the opening six fixtures, I think would be good. I know that we had a great season. 23-24 was our best start to a season. We finished second, but it was the best start to a season. If we can replicate that, have another great start. I mean, I'd love it if we got 18 points, but I know that won't happen. I do think we'll get a couple draws, just because that seems to be how we played last season. So I'm basing this as off of our last season's performance against those teams. I think 15, 16 points is fantastic. I think 14 points is what I'd expect. I don't want to set my bar too high. So 14 points, but what would you say is a good points tally? The last thing we're going to discuss today is a out and out striker. I know this is a highly debated topic. I know there's a lot of information going around on the web at the moment, and there's a lot of information being thrown about who we're going to get. Are they trying to blackmail X, Y, and Z? And we're going to try and cover it all here. There's a lot to talk about. Hopefully it won't take up most of the episode, but we're going to try and cover it. Let's get into it. We're going to start with Sesko. 22 years old, 45 appearances, 21 goals. But it was in the German league. So it's not like it's Portuguese league, which by no means is an easy league. We look at Darwin Núñez. Came from Portuguese team into the Liverpool team, and he can't break through. So is Gyökeres going to be the same as that? I personally feel Sesko is an investment. He's a lot of money for a 22-year-old. And he scored 21 goals, but that's still twice what an Arsenal player scored this season. Havertz was our highest goal scorer on 9. So Sesko has to be an improvement, right? He has to be an improvement on what we have in the squad. So either of them are going to improve the squad. In terms of the play style that Sesko has, I personally think that's going to be what Arteta is looking for. He's a young player. He's quick. He's strong. He's tall. He can head the ball. He's great when the ball is chucked into the box. Aerial duels and corners. What more could you possibly want for an Arsenal striker at the moment, right? He kind of ticks all the boxes. Don't think he has a weak side. A lot of people compare him to Haaland in terms of his build and what he can do. And let's not forget, he's still really young. He's got time to grow. He's only going to improve. On the other hand, you've got Gyökeres. 5 years older, 27. He doesn't have that good of a record. Take out those penalties. Yes, 40 goals is good. But you have to take into the fact Portuguese league. You cannot be comparing the German league and the Premier League, the French league, to the Portuguese league. You cannot. Darwin Nunez couldn't do it. What's to say Gyökeres can? On the other hand, Gyökeres is already grown. He is that player. He might get better, but he's proven in terms of the abilities that he has there. Is it less of a financial risk for Gyökeres? Or is it more of an investment to go for Sesko? And I think that's the debate that Arsenal might be having at the moment. That might be why Berta wants to get both deals on the table to discuss with Arteta and the team what option is going to be best for them. Are they going to go for Sesko, go for the investment? Maybe he doesn't get 20 goals a season straight away, but he will grow into that player if they mould him the correct way. Or did they go, no, next season we have to win a title, we have to win a competition, we have to go home with a trophy and go for Gyökeres and hope that he succeeds and the transition from the Portuguese league to the Premier League works? It's highly debated. And then you look at overall factor, which is really going to come down to nitty-gritty stuff, is the price. I know Sesko, there seems to be a lot of noise about, does he want more money? Does he want a release clause? RB Leipzig don't really seem to be pressuring for more money. I don't think that's an issue. I think it's more or less the Sesko talks that seem to be stalling it from what I've seen and what I've heard. On the other hand, you've got someone like Gyökeres who seems to have already decided he wants to go to Arsenal, has kind of blackmailed Sporting into selling him for a lower price. Feels like he's had a promise broken to him from the previous president, which I have to kind of agree with, but it does make him look bad now. It makes him look very, very kids throwing his toys out the pram. Doesn't get his way, so he's kicking off, says he's never going to play for him again. Do we want someone like that? Do we want another Aubameyang or Lacazette in the team? I mean, look at Guendouzi going around telling players that he can buy their flight home. Do we want someone with that kind of attitude? Or do you want someone like Sesko who we can mould into that player like the Martin Odegaard and Saka? You know, the humble players that don't go out drinking, don't do stupid things, don't say stupid stuff. You know, very professional, very kind. Is that kind of the player that we're looking for? Or do we take a risk, go for Gyökeres? Cool Sporting's bluff, you know? Yeah, we want to sign him. Release his price, he doesn't want to pay for you anymore. You know, get him for a discount price. Is that something we want to do? A lot to talk about. A lot to discuss. I really appreciated your time listening to me dive into the Arsenal nitty-gritty. If you've enjoyed the episode, don't forget to hit subscribe, like the video, it really helps me out. And as always, come on you Gunners!